Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The 12th African Games will officially wrap up Saturday in Rabat, Morocco. The closing ceremony will take place at the Prince Moulay Abdallah Stadium, which has been the venue for athletics action the past few days. On Friday, Yalom Zerf Densa led an Ethiopian sweep of the medals in the women's half marathon. She had a winning time of 1 hour, 10 minutes, and 26 seconds. Dagitu Asires won the silver medal, and Meseret Tola won the bronze. In the men's half marathon, Titus Ikiru of Kenya won the gold medal in 1 hour, 1 minute, and 42 seconds. Moroccan runners Rida Elarbi and Hamza Sali won the silver and bronze medals, respectively. Highlighting Thursday's athletics action at the African Games, Ethiopia had another sweep of the medals in the women's 10,000 meters race. Sehe Gamechu won the gold in 31 minutes and 56.92 seconds. Zinaba Yimmer and Dira Dida won the silver and bronze medals, respectively. Ethiopia wasn't the only country to achieve a sweep of the medals on Thursday. Egypt finished 1-2-3 in the men's hammer throw. Mustafa El Gamel won his third consecutive African Games title with a best effort of 72 meters 50. Ala El Ashri and Eslam Mohammed completed the all-Egyptian podium. In other finals, Algeria's Abdelmalek Lahoulou retained his African Games title in the men's 400 meters hurdles, clocking 49.08 seconds. Another Algerian, Hisham Sharabi, successfully defended his pole vault title from 4 years ago, clearing 5 meters even. Three-time African long jump champion Esse Brume of Nigeria won her first African Games title with a leap of 6 meters 69. And Esse's Nigerian teammate Chioma Onyekwere had a gold medal winning throw of 59 meters 91 in the women's discus. Nigeria also celebrated an African Games title in women's football, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. In football, the Nigerian under 20 women's team emerged as the champions of the 2019 All African Games women event after they beat Cameroon 3-2 on penalties. Meanwhile, their male counterparts, 1973 champions Nigeria, will look to win their first gold in men's football tournament of the All African Games when they take on Burkina Faso in the final of the event in Rabat later today. Egyptian weightlifter Salma Farag won 3 medals on Thursday in weightlifting. The Egyptian athlete won silver medal in 81 kilogram snatch competition after lifting 96 kilograms and got a bronze in the 81 kilograms clean and jerk category after lifting 120 kilograms. She also got a silver medal in the 216 kilograms lift. In badminton, South Africa women's badminton team defeated Nigeria 2-0 to win gold also on Thursday, while in the women's tennis singles final, Chanel Simmons of South Africa lost to Maher Sharif of Egypt 6-3, 6-3 for Sharif to pick up the gold medal. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with the African Games, Egypt has dominated the medal table in Morocco, just as it did 4 years ago in Congo Brazzaville. And the Egyptians will be the runaway overall winner when the games close on Saturday in Rabat. The Egyptians have 242 medals, more than twice as many as second place Nigeria. Breaking down the Egyptian total, they've won 86 gold, 89 silver, and 67 bronze. Nigeria has 108 medals, 42 gold, 28 silver and 38 bronze. Meanwhile, two Nigerian athletes and an official are talking about their experiences at the 12th African Games in Morocco. Raymond Akevwo, Aniakin Etim, and Sunday Adeleye all spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye. The 20-year-old Akevwo is a student at the University of Florida, and he won a gold medal in the men's 100 meters race, clocking 9.96 seconds. Etim competed in the women's 100 meters and 200 meters events, and Adeleye is the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. First up, we'll hear from Raymond Akevwo, who is delighted by his African Games gold medal.
It's a great feeling. I'm happy about it. I don't even know how to explain it, but I'm happy.
Before the All-African Games, did you have this feeling? Were you optimistic that you are going to win the 100 meters?
No. You know, it's a competition, so everybody's trying to win, you know. I just came here to compete with everybody, and, you know, glory be to God, I came as the champion.
After the All-African Games, what are other challenges that we have? What next?
I mean, the World Championship is coming up. The championship is coming up by the end of next month, so hopefully, by the grace of God, I'll be there to compete.
What message do you have to tell Nigerians? What special message do you have for Nigerians out there who now see you as the new king of Africa in the 100 meters race?
I would just say never give up on your dreams. Keep working hard and hard, and just believe in yourself that with God, everything and anything is possible. Yeah, I'm like, just believe in your dreams, believe in, you know, whatever you do, believe in yourself, and just keep working and working. And also believe in God, most importantly. And, you know, everything will fall in place. Just keep working and working, work hard.
Yes, you say, I make a mate team, man. 800 meters race. What did you win? Did you win any medal?
Okay, I didn't place, but I believe next time I will.
And what was the experience like in the All-African Games?
It was really good, like running with the big athlete and getting to learn new things. Well, I believe next time I will make it up to be at the podium.
Ms. Adeleye, can you give me something like a summary of the outing? What's your, you know, general assessment of the outing of the track and field team of Nigeria to the All African Games?
It was a good one. Our performance here was outstanding because we did very well. We brought out some of our newly discovered athletes. And then, of course, we also brought some of the athletes we were trying to expose. And then, of course, that will take over again in the next coming competitions. So, generally, so far, so good. We've done very well. We're proud of the athletes. And this is just for us to go back to the drawing boards and then see where we've gotten it wrong and then to make amends.
How many medals did the track and field team win for Nigeria in the All-African Games?
Well, so far, so good. We're on the ninth medal now, so, and then we're trying to round up about four more possible gold medal event today. So we'll be rounding up today, this evening, to know what we have. Of course, Divine Oduduru will be running the 200 meters finals. We have Abasian Nokakban running in the 400 meters hurdles finals. We have Shade throwing the short put final. We have Adam Skuri in the javelins finals. And then we have the 4x400 meters men and women final.
That's Sunday Adeleye, the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. Adeleye and Nigerian athletes Raymond Akevwo and Aniakin Etim spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Rabat, Morocco. Olympic athletes could be dealing with dangerous heat during the Tokyo Games next year. Earlier this month, a worker at an Olympic construction site in the city died from heat stroke. Across Japan, a heat wave beginning late July killed at least 57 people. Organizers say they are taking measures to combat the potential hazards. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Henry Ridgewell reports from Tokyo.
Summer in Tokyo, with temperatures topping 35 degrees Celsius, clear skies, and humidity peaking above 80%. conditions that pose a big danger at next year's Olympic Games, says George Havenith of Britain's Loughborough University, an expert on the effects of temperature and climate on athletes.
When it gets warmer, of course, the skin gets warmer and doesn't lose that much heat to the environment, and the sweat evaporation still is then the main factor for cooling. Now, if we also push up the humidity as it would happen in Tokyo, that means that that sweat evaporation gets even more difficult. So it gets more and more difficult to lose the heat.
Heat stroke is a big danger, especially for endurance events, says Havenith.
About 15% of athletes, even in a cool environment, have body temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius. Now, if we push the temperature higher and the cooling gets more of an issue, we get more and more athletes in that whole cohort going into these temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius, bringing them closer and closer to the level where we can expect an exertional heat stroke.
Tokyo hosted test events in recent weeks, including a mixed triathlon relay and a swimming marathon, among the endurance sports seen as posing some of the biggest dangers to athletes. Japanese athlete Yumi Kida was among those taking part in the swimming marathon. She said, "The sunlight was strong and the water temperature was high. When I joined the race, I worried I might suffer from heat stroke." Games organisers have shifted the start times of several endurance events to begin early in the morning and say they are taking other measures to mitigate against the heat. Yasuo Mori of the Tokyo 2020 Games Operations Bureau says those measures include increasing water supply points and cooling areas. He says he also heard they are deploying medical staff every 500 metres of the marathon course. Scientist George Havenith says additional measures may be needed.
Having ice baths available for the athletes to cool them down quickly if they have an exertional heat stroke is the advised method.
The last time Tokyo hosted the Olympics in 1964, the Games were moved to October to avoid the summer heat. With a packed sports calendar and demands from global broadcasters, that's no longer possible. Scientists say it's vital athletes acclimatise themselves well in advance of the start of the Games in July 2020. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, Tokyo.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a package of American-style football news. And Jim says he'll be kicking off with the surprising retirement of a star quarterback.
And this certainly isn't how I envisioned this or planned this.
An upturned horseshoe is a symbol of good luck, and it's the logo for the National Football League's Indianapolis Colts. But for the team, luck has run out for good. Quarterback Andrew Luck, who made a surprise announcement following a preseason game.
I'm going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life, but it is the right decision for me.
The 29-year-old team leader played six seasons with Indianapolis, but the last several have been especially punishing to his body.
For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing, unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season.
While his team and NFL fans were shocked, the move fulfilled a promise Luck had made to himself.
I haven't been able to live the life I want to live, taking the joy out of this game. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation, and the only way forward for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in.
Fans caught wind of Luck's impending departure on social media, and boos rained down from the stands when he left the field.
I'd be lying if I didn't say I heard the reaction. Yeah, it hurt. I'll be honest. It hurt.
Still, playing in the National Football League and for the Colts was a dream come true.
It's the greatest team game in the world. I've loved being in that locker room. It's truly been the honor of a lifetime to suit up next to many of those guys, and that's part of what makes this very, very, very difficult.
As for Andrew Luck's future,
part of my journey going forward will be getting out of pain and figuring out what's going on and how to feel better.
And
I'll feel like a Colt forever. I know I will.
College football is upon us.
This is game week, finally. It's a fun time of year.
Head coach Dabo Swinney leads defending national champion and number one ranked Clemson into another title quest, beginning with Atlantic Coast Conference rival Georgia Tech.
Openers are really tough. They always are tough because we have more time to prepare for this one game than any game that we ever play.
Swinney is not thinking ahead to what might be added to the trophy case, but rather the journey there.
There's only so far you can get without going and playing a game. And that's the next step for us, is playing an opponent and kind of figuring out where we are. I'm excited to see us play and see what we need to do to improve. And that's really our focus, is to just get better one week at a time, one day at a time.
Many college football observers see little challenge to Clemson and Alabama, who have met in three of the past four national championship games. Swinney says this Clemson team is very different from last year's title winner.
We got a lot of new pieces. We've got a little over 40 people on the team that were not on the team last year. So we got a lot of guys that are getting their first experience to Clemson, and then we got a lot of new roles, guys that were on the team, but now they have completely different roles or more significant roles.
One important bit of consistency is quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who's only a sophomore.
Still the same person. I think the only thing from success is just having a little more confidence, you know, starting the year as opposed to last year. Hadn't played any college football yet, so have a little bit more confidence, but still the same person.
He could be quite a force as he matures from the freshman who led an undefeated season and the first ever 15-0 record in college football.
Definitely, I think I've been more of a vocal leader this year than I was last year, for sure, being a freshman, but that's something I've tried to challenge myself to do, is lead more, be a little bit more vocal. I mean, I feel like I've always tried to lead by example, but sometimes it is necessary to step up and say some things. So I've been trying to do that.
Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that report. Trevor Lawrence and number one ranked Clemson routed visiting Georgia Tech Thursday night, 52-14 in the season opener for both teams. Turning to tennis, U.S. Open fans are looking forward to another marquee women's singles match. Joining us with the details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Sports fans, you may remember the women kick things off with a headlining opener between Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova. Well, get ready for another women's singles blockbuster. The stage is set for rising star Coco Gauff to face defending champion Naomi Osaka in a must-see matchup. Gauff had to dig deep in a hard-fought battle against Hungary's Tamia Babos. The match lasted 2 hours and 22 minutes, but Gauff kept her composure and bounced back from a one-set deficit to claim another comeback victory and advanced to the third round. Afterwards, the 15-year-old phenom said she's looking forward to her upcoming match against Osaka.
Obviously, she's an amazing player. I mean, she's defending champion. She's won two slams. She's number one, and she's only 21. So we're both pretty young, and I'm a little bit newer to the game. So I'm just curious to see how my game matches up to get against her. And obviously, I want to win, but I just want to enjoy it and have fun and enjoy the battle.
Goff is now the youngest player to make it past the second round at Flushing Meadows in 23 years. Meanwhile, world number one Naomi Osaka was able to keep her nerves in check to clinch a straight sets win against Poland's Magda Linette, despite falling 3-0 in the second set. Her Saturday showdown against Coco Gauff will most likely take place on center stage under the bright lights of Arthur Ashe Stadium, where Gauff will make her debut. Those who were in that stadium on Thursday saw what might be the most stunning upset of the tournament so far. American Taylor Townsend clinched a three-set victory over fourth seed Wimbledon champion Simona Halep and scored the biggest win of her career. That career has taken Townsend on a roller coaster journey that she says had no shortage of doubters. But Thursday's victory was a defining moment.
Just realized that, like, I belong on this level, you know what I mean? I've had a lot of people that have doubted, you know, me being able to, like, break through, quote unquote, you know? And, you know, it's just confirmation more for myself that, like, I'm on the right path, I'm doing the right things, and you keep your head down, you keep working, and you see what happens.
After the match, one commenter on Twitter described Townsend's performance as sublime. The 116th ranked qualifier thrilled the crowd with a net rushing serve and volley brand of tennis. In fact, Townsend rushed the net a total of 105 times, and the left-hander said she played a style of tennis she's the most comfortable with.
I mean, I was just like, what do you have to lose? I was like, I'm just going to go for it, and I'm going to do, like, what I do best and where I'm the most comfortable, which is at the net. And I won a lot of points. I lost points. I lost big points. But, you know, I was rewarded in the end. So that's what was most satisfying.
Townsend will next face Romanian Sorana Cârstea in the third round on Saturday. For Simona Halep, her early exit continues a disappointing run at the U.S. Open. She was eliminated in the first round of the tournament last year. This year, Halep chalked up her second round exit to Townsend's ability to keep her off balance.
Sometimes I thought that she's going to hit strong, but was a little bit softer. So I didn't have the rhythm. I didn't know the position on court. So I think I have to learn from this match, and next time I will be much, much better.
But Halep said she will not let her performance at Flushing Meadows overshadow her victory at Wimbledon.
I'm disappointed. I had expectations from myself that I'm confident and I feel the game, but today was different. I was very close. I had match ball. You know, sometimes happens, and I have just to look forward. I'm Wimbledon champion, so I will not ruin that.
The women and the men will continue to serve it up on Friday and throughout the weekend. We'll have those results as we head closer and closer to the final rounds. The women play their final match on September 7th, and the U.S. Open concludes with the men's championship on September 8th. And that's it for me for the week. More sporty news to come. Sunny, back to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, the FIBA Basketball World Cup tips off on Saturday in China. Five African men's teams will compete in China. They are Angola, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Senegal, and Tunisia. Let's take a look at Saturday's opening games. In Group A, Poland will play Venezuela, and Ivory Coast is matched against China. In Group B, Russia will play Nigeria, and Argentina will go against South Korea. In Group C, Iran will play Puerto Rico, and Spain will take on Tunisia. And finally, in Group D on Saturday, Angola will go against Serbia, and Philippines will take on Italy. The United States is the two-time defending World Cup champion. As Gwen Uten reported during Thursday's show, the Americans will not have some of their top NBA players on the squad, but they still should compete for a medal in China. And that wraps up the August 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. See you in September. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here. Only the best on VOA Africa.
In late August, a judge in the state of Oklahoma ordered the large U.S. drug manufacturer, Johnson & Johnson, to pay $572 million for helping to fuel the state's opioid epidemic. On this encore edition of the program, host Carol Castiel discusses the roots and ramifications of the opioid addiction crisis in America. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Encounter.
This is Science in a Minute.
Sleep deprivation has long been linked with having a higher risk for cardiovascular disease and even death from coronary heart disease. A study published in the journal Psychosomatic Medicine suggests one possible reason is that having a bad night of sleep can cause blood pressure to spike. The researchers studied 300 men and women between the ages of 21 and 70 with no history of heart problems. The participants wore portable blood pressure cuffs and had their blood pressure randomly measured over a two-day, two-night period. To gauge their sleep efficiency, they also wore devices that measured movement as they slept. The researchers found that the participants with lower sleep efficiency readings also showed an increase in blood pressure during the night and a higher systolic or upper number blood pressure the following day. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Controversy over refugee and immigration policies in the Trump administration continues unabated. On this encore edition of Press Conference USA, host Carol Castiel and Minh Dao, editor in VOA's Vietnamese service, talk with Oanh Nho Usadi, who fled South Vietnam and arrived in the United States as a refugee. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Pelka.